Good morning and welcome to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. On a Wednesday morning, I do want to give a shout out to Dawn and John, who pulled me aside last night at Karen's Field. Had a little bit of a chat. Thanks so much for listening. That ball game last night, first of all, can I compliment the city of Saskatoon on Karen's Field? I have never been there, never watched a ball game there. Actually, haven't got to a baseball game this year anywhere in the province. So was sad about not getting to many games. But last night, being able to be at that game between the Regina Red Sox and the Saskatoon Berries, Karen's Field, beautiful facility. So first of all, check mark Saskatoon. Second of all, Saskatoon fans, you were out in full fashion last night. I love it. The Berry merch was absolutely prevalent throughout the stands. There was purple everywhere. The Berries have done a great job of marketing. I might be able to say I saw two people with Red Sox gear on. Now, I know there were Red Sox fans there, so either I just didn't see them or they just weren't wanting to be too boisterous as visitors in that beautiful diamond last night. Nonetheless, Regina Red Sox beat the Berries 6-2 last night. I was happy to be able to be there. My son and I went to the game. And being as he picked me up and drove me to the game, I was able to enjoy a couple of the 9 Mile Legacy Brewing Berry beers. Have you tried those? Wow. Those are a good drink there too. So congrats to the Regina Red Sox. They're going to now face the Sylvan Lake Gulls for the WCBL championship finals. In fact, game one goes tomorrow night, Curry Field in Regina. Then game two and three, if necessary, will happen on August 15th and 16th in Sylvan Lake. So all in all, great ball, great atmosphere. And I'm just going to also give a shout out to the kid who was sitting right beside us in Section B. He had, if you saw the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you remember the chatter in the ball game? Bada, 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 swing, bada. Remember this youngster? I don't even think he was older than about 8 or 9 years old. He had the best chatter. He was entertainment in and of himself. Everyone in Section B was chuckling throughout the game. He was right in it. He had the baseball chatter down pat and added to the atmosphere for sure. So great night at Karen's Field. Obviously, Saskatoon Berries fans not happy with the outcome, but you got to be happy with the season. Man, what a great season. Top of the league, building on that momentum, no doubt. Next year, good luck to the Regina Red Sox as a province. Hopefully, we can get behind them and cheer them on in the championships coming up. Okay, we just had Sean Haney on the show. Sean, the founder and CEO of RealAgriculture.com, talking about these canola tariffs. We also yesterday carried Scott Moe live, Premier Moe live here on this radio station, talking about the canola tariffs with a reaction to that. And ultimately, the Premier talking about what he wants to see happen.
As I said, I'll be speaking to the Prime Minister, I expect, in the next number of hours or day for sure. And I think we need to bring the industry together, production, exporters, as well as the levels of government, so that we can collaborate on what our next steps are. Whether it be a trade deal with the United States of America or whether it be a trade deal with China, and we need both. And this industry, I think, is very indicative of the fact that we need both moving forward. That is going to have to happen and be agreed upon between Prime Minister Carney and, in the case of the United States, President Trump. When it comes to China, that agreement and our path forward is going to have to be agreed upon by Prime Minister Carney and President Xi. And so we are going to support the advancement of that conversation to happen, hopefully sooner rather than later.
So, I mean, not surprising what we heard from the Premier yesterday. In fact, he has been saying this for quite some time. Right. These canola tariffs are not new. They were on canola oil and meal earlier this year. In the spring, we saw China throw those tariffs on. Now we're seeing the continuation. It's about 76% on canola seed. So the industry in and of itself, and the premier talked about the size of the industry, 200,000 people with jobs relying on the canola industry in Canada. And of course, so much of that from right here in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan produces over 50% of the country's canola. This is a big, we're talking the industry measured in the billions of dollars. 12 million acres of canola seeded here in Saskatchewan that we'll be watching knockdown and harvest over the next few weeks. So this is big. This is important. And what do you expect is going to happen? What do you want to happen? What do you expect to happen? Phone lines are open. Text lines are open for you. 1-877-332-8255. By the way, if you're a producer, I would also love to hear from you, because that's what Sean Haney and I were talking about this morning, is what is the impact on producers? We saw a depression in the price of canola yesterday. So that right there, I mean, is self-explanatory, the impact it has. And depending on how you manage your grain handling, depending on what you've got in terms of contracts to sell grain, does this mean that farmers are going to try and store more to weather this storm? And if so, what happens there? Bin sales go up. I mean, you only have so much capacity to store grain on the farm as well. So there's so many ripple effects. And as people have already been pointing out on the text line, is you start to impact the farmer's bottom line. It has an impact on the economic health of the entire community, certainly in Saskatchewan. So many communities, not just rural, urban as well, rely on farmers' spending. Not just on farm equipment, but on everyday items as well. So you see a depression in agriculture. It absolutely impacts so much. 1-877-332-8255. The tariffs on EVs clearly have to go. Gosh, I should have been keeping track of the number of times that you and I have talked about this. Those EV tariffs put on last year by the federal government in response to and support of Joe Biden and the U.S. government. So they were trying to control the amount of electric vehicles coming from China into the North American market. And basically, the United States looked to Canada to say, hey, we're putting these tariffs on. If you don't, there's the possibility these cars could enter the States through Canada. So being a good neighbor, Canada says, okay, we'll do it. Well, when it happened, we said, oh boy, here it comes. What is going to happen? Reciprocal tariffs from China likely going to target agriculture. We've seen this happen again, and predictably it happened. So the EV tariffs, which, number one, if they're done to bolster a relationship with the United States, not working, didn't do anything. We're in a trade fight with them. And gosh, wouldn't it be nice at this point to have an agreement with the states? Because you know, pulling those EV tariffs now, while it's the right thing to do for the canola and agriculture industry, is not going to go over well. It's not going to go over well with Donald Trump. You know that. So had we had a deal in place, maybe we could have mitigated that. So that's part one. Let's get rid of the EV tariffs. But part two is there has been a very strong support mechanism set up in place from Ottawa to so many industries, right? We've seen the auto industry. We've seen the steel and aluminum industry just this past week, the lumber industry with supports from Ottawa. I'm not speaking for farmers, but what I've heard from people in the ag industry is ag stability. That's a good step, but that doesn't cut it. That's not all that is needed. Is there going to be support from Ottawa? I mean, they're speaking big right now. The feds, in fact, we had the Federal Minister of Emergency Management and Community Resilience in Saskatoon, and she said that, Ottawa is going to stand behind ag and farmers. In fact, what she said is Ottawa has their back, just as it did in previous trade disputes over steel and aluminum. Well, I guess time will tell. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? What needs to happen? What's going to happen? Maybe those are two different things, sadly. It would be nice if what you think needs to happen is also what you think is going to happen. Something tells me that won't be the case. Let's take a call before we take our first break. But the phone lines and the text lines are officially open. Jerry from Regina, what do you say on this canola tariff issue?
Well, there's another. We have to have a real conversation about China and the influence that it has on this country. I had sent Libby Gray a list of credible people for you to interview that will explain exactly what the influence China has around here. 50 years ago, Trudeau Sr. was the first to recognize the Communist Party of China. They were infatuated with Cuba, and now they recognize Palestine. My point is, when you look at the company you keep, that's the future. So, Evan, did you know that the RCMP and CSIS have no relationship whatsoever, and that less than 1% of those containers out of China coming through the port of Vancouver are unchecked? They are behind the fentanyl trade here, and they're in business with the cartels. This has nothing to do with canola. This is nothing more than a narco state. That Liberal government has been compromised for so many years. You guys are all crying about becoming the 51st state. Mark Carney is the premier of the 27th province of China. He is in business with them. And like I said, what's going to happen? Nothing. And Scott Moe should really keep his mouth shut, because then people are going to start looking around how China is buying up land around rural Saskatchewan around here.
Well, that's an interesting point. I saw that on the text line as well, someone pointing out that there is something that we could do as a province, and it's not about the embassies. It's not about going over and using our trade offices. It's about limiting the ability for foreign purchase of land if the foreign purchase is coming from China. So that's an interesting point Jerry brings up. I saw it on the text line. I'd love to hear from you. Phone lines, text lines are open, 1-877-332-8255. What are you expecting to see? Ottawa says it has our back. Words. How about actions? More of your thoughts when we come back here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME. Conversation continues on what you want to happen with regard to the Ottawa actions to help with these tariffs that have been placed on canola by China, and then what you think will happen. There's a lot of people on the text line that are saying, you're right, these are likely going to be two different things, what we want and what we think needs to happen. I thought the premier did a good job yesterday. He did that live news conference at noon. We were able to carry it live here on this radio station. He did a good job of giving the context of this industry. If you put it all together, the size of the canola industry, so not just farmers and seed, but some of the, you know, the byproducts as well, canola meal, canola oil. He talked about that and put that in context with other industries in Canada.
To put this in context, this $43 to $45 billion canola industry, the Canadian canola industry that we have, employing just over 200,000 people, that is significantly larger than the steel industry, the aluminum industry, and the car manufacturing industry combined. It's about the same size as the Canadian forestry industry, of which we saw significant supports for just this past week. Each of those industries, the steel, the aluminum, and the EV industry, have also been hit hard by U.S. tariffs, as has our forestry industry been hit hard by U.S. tariffs. But canola producers hit with these Chinese tariffs, I would say that they deserve the same attention by our federal government and our prime minister as we are seeing in other industries. And we are asking that this be dealt with immediately. And I've reached out to the prime minister this morning, and I expect I'll be speaking with him at some point later today.
You know, I listened to the premier yesterday, and I couldn't help but think, had this news conference, had all of this transpired last fall, and Trudeau was still prime minister, I feel like the tone would have been different. We've seen a more conciliatory tone between Premier Moe and Prime Minister Mark Carney on various different issues. Even yesterday in the news conference, there were a couple of points where he gave the prime minister credit for some action that has already happened on various different fields and topics. On this one, though, I mean, he is pretty clear. We need a deal with China so that we've got a solid trading partnership with China. The same thing has to happen with the states, and it's the prime minister and the federal government alone that can make that happen. So we can ask the premier all we want to go out there and lobby China and whatever, and I know that those calls are being made, but ultimately the final deal, the ink on the page, is going to lie with the federal government and the prime minister. So we need that to happen. But we also need to see that same level of support. And so many of you on the text line are, many of you are very skeptical that we're going to see anything happen with regard to that. On the canola tariff, starting to sound a lot like Carney's predecessor in Ottawa. We've got your backs. Yep, all the way down to my back pocket where my wallet hangs out, texter on the line says. 1-877-332-8255. Rick in Saskatoon pointing out Mark Carney's on extended vacation. How are the Trump haters feeling? Rick says, you get what you asked for. Carney should have never been elected. Well, I mean, the relationship with the United States is all factors into this. And when we had Sean Haney on the show this morning, he said that. He said, don't kid yourself. It's easy for us. And I've been saying this since day one. Let's get those EV tariffs off. The EV tariffs are hurtful. And what exactly industry are they protecting in Canada? Our robust EV manufacturing industry? Keep in mind, our federal government has some strong views on electric vehicles and their future in Canada, which many of us have pointed out are absolutely unrealistic. So there's a few things that need to happen there. But it's not as simple, and this is back to what Sean Haney said this morning, it's not as simple as just saying, okay, let's pull the EV tariffs. There will be repercussions with the United States. It's complicated. And no doubt while there are talks going on right now, don't forget, we're urgently trying to get this trade deal done with the United States. Making a move on EV tariffs, although it's the right thing to do for Western Canada and agriculture, it could have implications on the U.S. discussions. So we can't turn a blind eye to that. More of your thoughts when we come back here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME. Evan Bray, great to have you along. It's a bit of a drizzly day in parts of the province. It's kind of one of those days you can expect showers to be off and on in most of the province. And sometimes, I know it was reported earlier this morning, parts of Saskatoon were getting rain, other parts were getting sunshine. Kind of one of those days. If you look at the radar map, it's likely to be patchy and moving through the province at different times. Fairly windy in parts of the province today as well. I mentioned earlier that I was happy to be in the stands last night to watch a great baseball game. Regina Red Sox ended up beating the Saskatoon Berries 6-2, so Regina won the East and are headed to the league finals in the Western Canadian Baseball League, taking on the Sylvan Lake Gulls, and that starts up tomorrow night. My first time to Cairns Field in Saskatoon. What a beautiful facility. Now, there were a few people that texted in after I said that. I was effusive in my appreciation for, I thought it was a great ball diamond. I had a couple of people texting in saying, yeah, it is a nice looking park, but I don't like the seating. Tim, for example, with a text here saying, he was there. He decided to go check out a game because the All-Star game, of course, is going to be held and hosted in Saskatoon next year. So Tim says he wanted to check out the park. He says, I don't plan on going back unless they improve the seats. So, yeah, for some of us old guys, it'd be nice to have a back on the seat. And there isn't maybe a ton of leg room, depending on where you're sitting in the bleachers. I also got a text from my friend Bernie Eisworth, who for many years, the general manager of the Regina Red Sox, just recently retired from that, but said, hey, don't even get me going on Curry Field in Regina. Of course, we know the Red Sox have been after trying to get a new diamond down there. But all in all, beautiful facility, Cairns Field last night, and congrats and good luck to the Regina Red Sox going to the finals. I think I heard first time since 2019, I think, for the Red Sox. So good stuff there. Lots of people texting in on this notion of tariffs. In fact, What this clearly has become is a bit of a political dividing point, because many people are just pointing directly at the Liberals, saying they are to blame. Now, you know, I think the one thing we have to recognize, and Premier Moe said this himself yesterday, I'm just repeating what he said, but he did say during that news conference, in fairness, Mark Carney has been working with the Chinese government, with the president, to try and find a way to avoid these tariffs. We've had the 100% tariffs on canola meal and oil for quite some time. And it was just yesterday morning that the additional tariffs of 76% were added to canola seeds. So you heard Premier Moe yesterday say, I'm going to be reaching out today or in the next day to speak with the prime minister. I am a person that's pounding the table, pounding the desk, saying we need to see some movement from Ottawa on this. These newest tariffs just came down. It's literally been 24 hours since they were announced. So the premier yesterday giving some credit to Mark Carney for the work that he's been doing, but alluding to the fact that we need to see more. And some people on the text line agreeing with me. And I'm not speaking for farmers. I'm speaking from what I hear from farmers, saying agri-stability is not all it's cracked up to be. Number one, you've got to pay premiums to be part of it. So in many ways, it's your own money. Yes, they made some improvements to it. And you heard Sean Haney say there's some agriculture FPT meetings coming up this fall. Maybe we'll see some more enhanced benefits through agri-stability there. But what I hear from farmers, it's not the be-all, end-all. 1-877-332-8255. Well, I mentioned Bernie Eisworth, and he phones. How's it going today, Bernie?
Good, Evan.
Your Red Sox won last night.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for us, for sure. And I was listening to you talking about being in the beautiful field in Saskatoon. And we just had a playoff game here Monday night. We had 1,700 people out at Curry. And it was a gong show. Like, it's not a good place for that many people to be in one place.
Even bathroom facilities, right?
Oh, the bathroom was, it's disgusting. And, like, the concession, all the people that were lined up, it's not set up to serve that many people. And where it's going to be even worse tomorrow night, I think. When I say worse, I mean, as far as trying to service, like, we could have 2,000 tomorrow.
Right.
And it's tough. I mean, it's just drives home the fact that we need to have a decent facility in this province. I mean, even Saskatoon isn't, I know that their owner is not happy with his facility. He wants to get a new one too. Mm-hmm. So.
Are you any closer in Regina, Bernie?
We are a bit, yes. I mean, the fact that we sold to the richest man in town, that we sold to Semple and his group. I think that's a big step forward, because now we're going to have a little bit of cash behind us to support what we need to do. Mm-hmm. But, the mayor was here on Monday night. I don't have to convince him. he saw what was happening, and it's really too bad, because there's so much excitement in the city. You know, when this happens and you make the final, we haven't made since 2019, but we've made it seven times since 2010, the most of any team in the league. And it's an exciting time, and it's, people really get into it this time of year.
Of course, and, of course.
Would be nice to have a decent facility.
I said this on the show earlier, Bernie, but I was surprised I didn't see more Red Sox. Now I say Red Sox fans, I mean people wearing Red Sox gear. If they were there, I didn't see a ton of them last night.
Yeah, well, they were there. there's quite a few people there. But, like you said, when they hit, I understand that Saskatoon had over 2,000 people.
Yeah, 23, so, I think, is what they announced. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you had 200 of them were Regina fans, I think they'd get drowned in that. So
for sure. Well,
but, and there'll be lots of Barry. There won't be any Barry jersey tonight. Pardon me. That's a cheap shot. But so there may be some Sylvan Lake jerseys tonight. It's a long drive, but you never know. We should get a few.
All right. Well, hopefully the province gets behind the Red Sox. Love to see that trophy come home to Saskatchewan. Bernie, thanks for calling in.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
1-877-332-8255. Yeah, we could talk baseball diamonds in the province and the quality of them. I mean, you know, Curry Field in Regina, I've watched many a ball game there as well. Let's not say, I mean, it's not a dump. It's a nice ballpark as well. The problem is when you get this caliber of baseball, and now we've got some momentum in fan base, you get, as Bernie just said, close to 2,000 people out to the park. All of a sudden, that simple concession stand and that simple bathroom facility that is really meant for an afternoon of a couple of local teams playing ball on a nice field, all of a sudden, it's not adequate. And even Saskatoon last night, there were some lineups to get into the bathroom, no doubt about it. So maybe this will be the catalyst to seeing some improvement in some of the ball diamonds and ball fields that we have here in the province. Okay, open lines means we can go wherever you want. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. I'm going to ask first, Dwayne, before we even get into what you want to talk about from Carrot River, how's the knee doing?
Knee is doing perfectly.
Yeah, because you just had replacement surgery, did you not?
Yeah, I have now new both knees, right and left, done, and it's an amazing what they can do for you these days. And you don't even have a scar anymore.
It's amazing.
And I, you know, commend our doctors. Dr. Loback is my doctor, and he is just fantastic.
Good stuff. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind today?
Well, I guess I would say I've had it, and I'm not going to fake it anymore. When I think of what's going on in our world today and how many different religious groups are at war with each other and killing each other and starving each other, it just utterly amazes me that the rest of the world puts up with that. I realize these people think they're special, and I don't think they're any more special than I am. They're not God's chosen people, and I don't care whether it's Hindus or Muslims, Christians, Jewish people, the Islamic people. I'm ashamed to think that after all the centuries of being on our earth, human beings haven't figured out a way to get along. And I'm quite sure, and I've read the Quran, and I've read the Bibles and whatever, and I just am amazed to think that somewhere in every one of those religions it says, thou shalt not kill. But there's an exception. If you don't like the other religion, then that seems to okay it. I just get so frustrated when I think of all of the money that Canada has poured into the war in Ukraine and poured into the war in Israel. I don't ever recall one politician, no matter what their stripe is, saying, no, bye, we're going to put aside this many billions of dollars so we can help people fight their war. If we weren't doing it, and Germany wasn't doing it, and the United States wasn't doing it, these people would not be able to fight wars against each other. And I just can't believe that after all these centuries of human beings being on the face of the earth, that we can't get along and we justify what's going on. And sometimes we feel we don't want to insult them or whatever, but I've had it with that position. My position is you're wrong. You know you're wrong. And you need to grow up a little and start to respect your other human beings. And I was thinking to myself this morning, I've never once in my 77 years been so angry at someone, no matter what they did, to kill them.
Dwayne, I appreciate your passion on that, and there's a lot of people that would agree. Boy, what we could do with the military funding and support that is sent overseas to support one side or the other. I mean, this has been actually a controversial topic recently, with some groups challenging Canada still supplying things that support Israel in the war. Canada saying that they're not providing, you know, direct ammunition or firearms or ballistics. There's a list of things that Canada's pulled back on. There are still a number of products that are supplied from Canada, but that's been a topic of conversation lately as well. So, Dwayne, appreciate you calling in and joining the conversation. Okay, let's take another break. We'll come back. Open lines continues. I'll go back to the text line. Some more on canola tariffs. As we get closer to 10 o'clock, when we're going to be joined by our friend Brian Zinchuk, editor and owner pipelineonline.ca. We'll talk energy and where things are at. There's a bunch of things making news there. That's coming up just after 10 o'clock. Open Lines wraps up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Check-in at lunchtime today with Team Sask, who is about 500 plus athletes, coaches, and that doesn't even count the fans, the family and friends that are out in Newfoundland to support the Jeux Canada Games, which are going on now till towards the end of August. Wildfires in Newfoundland are causing problems. Now this Air Canada strike is going to cause more problems. So we'll check in with them, not only on how are the games going, but how are you navigating some of these blocks and challenges that are stepping in your way now of competition. Speaking of competition, I got a text from Matt. Apparently, we've got three teams competing in the Canadian Ultimate Championships in Edmonton. This is the Ultimate Frisbee Championships. Rutt, Queen City Bees, and Jam. So let's give them a shout out. Three different teams competing in Edmonton this weekend, Ultimate Frisbee Championships. Thanks for that, Matt. I mentioned this earlier. In fact, when I had the conversation with Sean Haney this morning, Pierre Poilievre's by-election is happening here on Monday in that Battle River Crowfoot riding in Alberta. And as all of the people running, and don't forget there's a ton of names on the ballot, thanks to the longest ballot committee, they're out doing door knocks right now, talking with people in the riding. One of the things that they're hearing time and time again from people is there needs to be some focus on this right to repair. This is a good topic of conversation. I brought it up late in the open phone segment here this morning, so I'll bring it back. Maybe we can talk about it tomorrow or we can talk about it on Friday. But this whole right to repair, this is the reality of how technology has changed things. And I'm oversimplifying it when I say this, but if you think about a piece of machinery or something that breaks down on the farm 50 years ago, even 20 years ago, chances are, number one, you could fix it yourself. You might have to jerry-rig it, but you would fix it yourself. Or number two, you could get a replacement part, or you could visit a local dealership that would be able to help you out. So much, thanks to technology, so much of equipment and different pieces of electronics that we use now, even in kind of the brains of things like tractors and combines, is proprietary, which means that you can't just go to any old dealer to get the part you need. Often it forces you through a variety of digital methods to basically use only the manufacturer authorized service provider, which means it becomes very hard and very expensive for people to repair their equipment. I would love to hear stories on this. Like I said, we're at the end of our open line segment here today, but I will bring this back because this is a big election discussion that's happening right now in Battle River Crowfoot. That election, of course, is happening on Monday night. Does Pierre Poilievre win? I think the answer to that is pretty easily going to be a yes. Does he win as handily as Damien Couric did with 83% of the vote in the spring election? I guess we'll find that out as well. So we'll continue the conversation on right to repair and that movement in Canada in an upcoming open line segment. And we are going to be joined by our friend Brian Zinchuk. We'll talk energy next on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.